You're listening to Occult Symbolism of Pop Culture. I'm your host, Isaac Wiseup. Today, we've got a bonus show. That's right, bonus show for the supporters only. This is a show that's going to go very deep. It's going to be a long one. We're going to talk about Puff Diddy, Puff Daddy, a.k.a. Diddy, a.k.a. Brother Love, a.k.a. I've got a new a.k.a. for him. I'm calling him the P. Diddler. We're going to talk about recent sexual assault allegations from the singer Cassie, with various theories over the years from different celebrities who have been exposing Diddy, trying to tell us the truth about what's going on there. Claims by, you know, familiar voices, Kanye West, a.k.a. Ye, 50 Cent, Jamie Foxx, Mace, that's right, Pastor Mace, Shine. Maybe you know Shine is. Let's test your hip-hop prowess, okay? Or maybe you're just old like me. You know who Shine is. We're going to look at all these things. We're going to look at some strange, I guess I would call it synchro mysticism, with Diddy. The Joker, remember he was dressed as the Joker? We'll look at the tarot and, you know, a bunch of other stuff. We're going to look at the beef between Bad Boy Records and Death Row. That ended with the death of Tupac and Big. Synchromistic parallels to Will Smith, Jada Pinkett Smith, the slap heard around the world with Chris Rock, the CIA. I mean, it's all here today, folks. It's all here. And we're going to wrap up with a possible breaking open of the Pizzagate theory with many celebrities speaking out. And we're going to take a look at an example with Kamora Lee Simmons and Russell Simmons, you know, Elon Musk and others. A lot of names are going to be dropped today. All right. So strap in. And because this is a supporters only bonus episode, you're ready for it. I know you are. So without further ado, let's get into it. Now, your boy's going to have some issues today. All right. Your boy's got some issues. My throat, if you've listened to me for years, you know that in the wintertime, I've got problems, all right? I don't know what happened. Last winter, I was sick for about 6 months. I woke up on Halloween with the thing from 2020 that would never go away. And, well, when you know it, this year, on yours truly's birthday, I woke up with the thing from 2020 that never went away. It come back again. I said, what is going on here? But you know what? I'm better than that. Bill Gates ain't taking me out. No. You're not going to get me that way, Billy. So bear with me today, folks, okay? So what's the deal here? First, I need to tell you who Cassie is, because I know some of you guys aren't going to be very familiar with a lot of these people. Cassie, she had a very large hit single called Me and You. It's Me and You. Now, I can feel it. Dick up when I make a move. Now, that one. I sang it because I told my wife this, and she was like, who? I said, you know the song, and I had to sing it. And then she was like, oh, that song. I said, oh, yes, that song from, I don't know, 2005-ish. Anyway, she worked on that song with a producer named Ryan Leslie. Diddy heard it. He then collaborated with them to release her first studio album on Bad Boy, the record label, in August 2006. And after this, she did some acting. She was in Step Up 2, a variety of features and whatnot. But strangely enough, she never released a second studio album, despite working in the entertainment industry all those years. That's strange. A little bit of a red flag, if you will. Okay? Now, there were some allegations that Cassie dropped recently, and this is why we're doing the show today. And today I'm joined by my very special guest in the studio, Laura Palmer, everybody. If you're watching the video version of this show, you can see my cardboard stand-up of Laura Palmer from Season 3, Twin Peaks The Return, modeling my wonderful Dale Cooper shirt I made on Gumroad. There's a few left, a couple sizes left. I'm probably going to buy some more sizes, folks, if you missed out. That's why you got to stay subscribed to the email newsletter and everywhere, okay? So you can catch up. And I'm going to be dropping a new Twin Peaks shirt very soon. And it's going to be great. It's going to be better than the Dale Cooper shirt, I think. We'll see. All right. I'm going to read you damn near this whole article from LA Times because it sums it up pretty good. All right. Okay. Now, and this happened just a couple weeks ago, and this started my rabbit hole spiral into the world of Diddy. And next thing you know, I've got this whole show. And looking at the date, I said, I got to get my bonus show out for November. All right. Your boy Billy Gates tried to shut me down with the thing from 2020 that will never go away. And he's not going to do it. I'm going to get this show out before the end of November. For you. I just got to take a little drink here and there. Okay, folks? Stick with me. All right. LA Times. Here we go. Music mogul Sean Combs, best known as Diddy, has been accused of rape, sexual assault, and sex trafficking by singer and former partner Cassie. Through his attorney, Combs has denied the allegations. Cassie, who sued under her legal name Cassandra Ventura, dated the famed hip-hop producer for about 11 years before they split in 2018. She filed her sex trafficking and sexual assault lawsuit against Combs on Thursday in U.S. District Court for the Southern District of New York. Ventura's lawsuit alleges that she was held down by Mr. Combs and endured over a decade of his violent behavior and disturbed demands. Okay, listen to that. Disturbed demands. This isn't just simple sexual assault. There's something deeper and more going on here, and that's the theme I'm trying to pull out with this episode. She was referring to that period with him as dark times, during which she was trapped by Mr. Combs in a cycle of abuse, according to a copy of the complaint obtained Thursday by the Times. The lawsuit brought under New York's Adult Survivors Act comes in the wake of others filed in the state this month against Aerosmith frontman Steven Tyler, music executive Antonio L.A. Reid, and former Grammys chief Neil Portnow. We're going to come back to that in the conclusion. This new, this Adult Survivors Act. Lots of names are being dropped. Okay. In the filing, 37-year-old Ventura accuses Combs, 54, of raping her in her home after she tried to leave him, physically attacking and injuring her, forcing her to engage in sex acts with male sex workers while filming the encounters. All right, did you catch that? Running around with a firearm, introducing her to a lifestyle of excessive alcohol and substance abuse, and requiring her to procure illicit prescriptions to satisfy his own addictions. He signed her to his label, Bad Boy Records, and within a few years, lured Miss Ventura into an ostentatious, fast-paced, and drug-fueled lifestyle and into a romantic relationship with him, her boss, one of the most powerful men in the entertainment industry, and a vicious, cruel, and controlling man nearly two decades her senior, the lawsuit said. Diddy's lawyer, Ben Braffman, said in a statement to the Times that his client vehemently denies these offensive and outrageous allegations and accused Ventura of being persistent in demanding more than $30 million from Diddy for the last 6 months. He added that the lawsuit is riddled with baseless and outrageous lies, aiming to tarnish Mr. Combs' reputation and seeking a payday. According to the lawsuit, Ventura met Combs in 2005 when she was 19 and he was 37. After signing her to his label, this suit alleges, Combs took control of her professional and personal life and began sexual and physically abusing her with increasing frequency. For instance, when Miss Ventura began experiencing memory loss, potentially due to excessive drug use and or head injuries caused by Mr. Combs' beatings, her MRI results were provided directly to Mr. Combs. Mr. Combs also repeatedly arranged for his staff to drive Miss Ventura to certain doctor's appointments. The lawsuit also alleges that in January 2009, Combs became enraged when he learned that Ventura had spoken to another music manager. The incident allegedly occurred at a party taking place at a club. Combs pulled her out of the club and into a car, the suit states, where he pushed her into a corner and stomped on her face. Mr. Combs' security staff, Roger Bonds, tried to stop the beating but was unable to de-escalate the situation, the suit says. Which, by the way, as of this recording today, November 29th, literally an hour ago, that same Roger Bonds came out and corroborated this story and said, yes, that happened. And he alleges that he's going to blow this thing open too. Let's see. When the car arrived at Mr. Combs' residence, Miss Ventura attempted to run away, but Mr. Combs followed her and proceeded to again kick her in the face. Miss Ventura was bleeding profusely and was ushered into Mr. Combs' home where she began to throw up from the violent assault. What's wrong with these guys? I'm beating up on her. And Cassie's, she's a very small woman. You know, and that doesn't surprise me. I've never liked Diddy. I've never liked his ass. Even in the 90s, I even bought the records, okay? I liked the music. I never liked his ass. I was with, I hate to side with Suge Knight, but I was with Suge Knight, you know? Suge Knight said that the, the Source Awards? He said something like, you want a record company with the manager dancing all in the video? Yeah, I just always thought he was kind of like a goofball, man. He's like DJ Khaled. Like, what are you contributing here exactly, dude? But we got more. We'll come back to that. Well, let's see here. Miss Ventura was bleeding profusely and was ushered into Mr. Combs' home, where she began to throw up from the violent assault. The lawsuit alleges that Ventura was often stashed in hotels while bruises healed, and states that during one such stay at the London Hotel in L.A., she allegedly asked to go home to her parents, but Combs wouldn't let her leave. Within a few months of beginning a romantic relationship with Combs, when Ventura was 22, she says she felt beholden to his whims and demands. Once, when they were staying in New York City, the filing says, Combs told Ventura he had voyeurism fantasies, and pressured Ventura to engage in sex acts with male sex workers while he watched. He allegedly provided drugs for those involved in these encounters, including ecstasy, cocaine, GHB, ketamine, and marijuana, and often recorded the activities. Encounters like this were called freak-offs, according to the suit, and could last multiple days. According to the suit, it became commonplace for Ventura to get IV fluids in the days after such an encounter to recover from the drug use. The suit further states that in 2011, Combs and Ventura had a brief rough patch during which Ventura began dating musician Kid Cudi. Combs went through Ventura's emails and discovered an exchange between her and Cudi. Combs then pummeled her, including with a corkscrew. Ventura says she went to her parents' home and Connecticut, where her mother took photographs of her bruises. So apparently there's legitimate evidence out there. In February 2012, during Paris Fashion Week, Combs told Ventura he was going to blow up Cudi's car and that he wanted to ensure that the musician was home with his friends when it happened. The suit states, around that time, Kid Cudi's car exploded in his driveway. So he really did it. Representatives for Kid Cudi, real name Scott Ramon Seguro Mescuti. Is Kid Cudi Italian? Is that an Italian dude? I don't actually listen to Kid Cudi. I'm not a big fan of Kid Cudi. I mean, no shade, right? I don't know much about the guy. I've only heard bits and pieces here and there. Let's see here. Why am I looking it up? I'm just curious, man. I gotta know. I don't know. It says Mexican and African American descent. Okay, well. However, regarding the exploded car, Kid Cudi told the New York Times through his publicist, this is all true. Some dangerous stuff we're talking about here, folks, okay? That's why we can't trust this to be out on the free feed. We're getting into some dark territory, all right? Okay, we're almost done here. Hang in there. After years in silence and darkness, I am finally ready to tell my story and to speak up on behalf of myself and for the benefit of other women who face violence and abuse in their relationships, Ventura said in a statement Thursday. She said that with the Adult Survivors Act window about to close, it became clear that this was an opportunity to speak up about the trauma I have experienced and that I would be recovering from for the rest of my life. Okay, yeah, then a bunch of legal stuff. Okay, yeah, okay, so that's the story, right? And, like, looking at it, you know, it is weird she never came out with a second album. And then there's all this stuff about, you know, the physical abuse, the sexual abuse, but then there's also these freak-off parties and theories, or claims, I should say, that, you know, because this is all, I wasn't there, I don't know what really happened, that he hired male sexual escorts to have sex with Cassie while he watched. And some people even claim some of the theories about Diddy is that he's actually gay. He's closeted gay, which I don't know why he's got to be. Maybe he's bisexual or something. But in today's day and times, it's weird that you would still be covering that up. But he's, you know, he's from an older generation, so it, you know, a little different view on that kind of stuff. But okay, so all that breaks. Let me get the date for you guys. Cause I feel like that's important. She sued him on November 16th. Okay. So like I said, just a couple weeks ago, in a federal court, you know, and people always, they're always like, oh, these women are just trying to get money or whatever. And it's like, sure. Like, I'm not saying that doesn't happen. Like, I tend to believe women, especially when there's a story like this, man. Like, she's got all these details, and she's got photos from her mom, and she's willing to go on a, what do you call it? What, can't you go to jail for perjury if you lie about this stuff, right? And then the ex-security head, Roger Bonds, even came out and said, yeah, that happened. So, I mean, I certainly wasn't there, so I don't know. And this is all allegedly, right? Let's keep that in front of everything, allegedly. But it sure seems pretty bad. And then to make it worse, the next day after she filed this lawsuit, Diddy settled with her out of court. He settled real quick. Real quick. And on Media Takeout, which is granted. And look, a lot of the stuff I researched on here is from flaky tabloidy sites. I'll try to give you the sources so you can kind of judge for yourself. Media Takeout, which is definitely a flaky kind of shady ass site. They said the settlement was for $100 million. $100 million. So, I mean, does that mean, you know, what does that mean? I don't know. I'll let you decide what that means. Now, here's what's interesting, because I saw many, many videos and people talking about this exact thing. Emily, shout out to Emily. She sent me a video of, I don't know who this guy is, at Take Naps. And this guy references a conversation he had with a person. And he even says in the video, he's like, look, I can't confirm that this is all true. I'm just relaying a story that happened to me, he said, about 10 years ago at the airport in Las Vegas. And he's never forgot about this conversation he had. And he basically says some guy in the terminal, they were hanging out waiting for the plane or whatever, and they were just chatting. And the dude turns out to be a male escort, and he said he worked for Cowboys for Angels. And I just happen to know what that is because I watched every season of that dumb show on Showtime. And it's a male escort service from Las Vegas. The Take Naps guy, he didn't know if the guy was actually on there or not, which I found a little suspect because I was like, wouldn't you look that up to see who the cast of... Like, that's what I would do. If I had this weird conversation with a guy that I remembered from 10 years ago, I would have looked the guy up and be like, oh, was this guy really on Showtime? Oh, interesting. So I found that a little suspect, but whatever. He describes the guy as 6'4", shredded white guy in his late 20s. I don't remember all the names of the guys on there. Nick Hawk is the only one I remember. I don't think he was 6'4", though. Anyway. So... this guy apparently worked for the Cowboys for Angels, and he proceeded to tell him a story about, because Mr. Take Naps there is like, well, what kind of girls would you be sleeping with, right? Because it seems weird from the male psyche to think, Like, what kind of woman has to pay for sex, right? And what they're paying for here is a variety of things, okay? And one of them is companionship. One of them is a no strings attached thing. Another one of them is, like, safety, right? Like, sure, a woman can go out and have a one-night stand, but, you know, some men are threats, you know? Dangerous. Diseases, you know, variety of reasons, right? And the guy says, look, sometimes I sleep with supermodels. You wouldn't believe it. And he said one time he went, he said he got paid much more than usual to take a private flight at like 1 a.m. down to Miami to Star Island. And he shows up to this mansion. And Mr. Take Nap says that this is actually Diddy's mansion because he looked it up. I didn't fact check that. So fact check that. I guess he's got a mansion in Star Island. Never heard of it. So he gets to a mansion and he's told, look, you're not going to say a single word here. You're going to go into this dark room. There's going to be a bed in the middle of this dark room. There's going to be this hot chick and you're going to make love to this chick. And there's he said there was a guy with a mask sitting there watching while he played with himself. The P Diddler. The P Diddler was there. And that's the allegation. And Mr. Take Naps, he looking back on it, he's like, I don't know if he was talking about Cassie. The way he described the female, it very well could have been, right? He's like this beautiful, black woman or whatever, right? But the point here is that Cassie is now publicly saying this kind of stuff happened to her. And Mr. Take Naps there is saying, that's bizarre, because I talked to a guy who might have been part of this thing. All right. We also can't avoid talking about 50 Cent, right? Because apparently he goes way back to this. Tony Yayo had said that 50 actually went to Bad Boy Records to get signed by Diddy before he signed on, was it Aftermath with Dr. Dre, I think is where he signed. But for whatever reason, Diddy didn't sign him. Okay. And there was footage I've seen on a video from, I know, great sources, right? But that's how it is. You scroll through TikTok and I see these footages. And what sucks about this is that in the future here, in the not too distant future, these videos, AI is going to throw out all kinds of fake videos and it's going to be very questionable as to what's real and what's not. That's what sucks about all this. For now, it seemed like a real video. I'm going to assume it was real. Where there's a I've got a source here. Hip Hop DX actually wrote an article about it because I looked it up after I watched the video. There's a video about Hit 50 talking about how he would never go to a Puff party. All right. And I'm going to read you from Hip Hop DX. He says, nuh-uh. He said from the stage. This is video footage of a concert, apparently. Nuh-uh, he said from the stage. That N-word hug you from the front and the back at the same time. F you talking about? I mean, if you into that, you into that. I'm fine with it. I'm just saying this ain't my mother effing kind of party. I'm uncomfortable. I think I belong in the girls' bathroom. And then on Media Takeout, 50. There's an article about 50 Cent confirming that he saw photos of Cassie from these freak-off parties. When they say freak-off party, I'm picturing Eyes Wide Shut parties, right? Diddy's in the mask. All kinds of freaky stuff going on. Okay, I'm going to read you from Media Takeout. A little more than 24 hours after the lawsuit was filed, Diddy settled the suit for a reported $100 million. After the suit settled, Diddy's legal team reached out to the media, including Media Takeout, explaining how they still deny all the claims made by Cassie in the lawsuit. Well, we did a bit of digging and found an old interview from 50 Cent taken back in 2010 where the rapper, mogul, television producer admitted to seeing some shocking photos of Cassie being smutted out by men. 50 Cent explained, they sent me Cassie's pictures, not the stuff that y'all saw, worse, way worse. Shortly before the interview was recording, some nude selfies of Cassie leaked online. But 50 Cent claimed that the photos he saw were not the ones that everyone else saw. Quote, penetration pictures and all that. I called Diddy and said, you effing with Cassie? Like, do you really like her? He was like, yeah, that's my girl. So I was like, all right, I'm going to send you something. You look at it and call me back, 50 added. 50 continued. I sent him the pictures and he called back and was like, thanks, man. I really appreciate that. But where did you get these from? Implying that they were real. So 50 Cent. And then I thought I put it in my notes, but just the other day, I might repeat this later. I might have forgot to put this in. I guess Diddy started a thing called Revolt. It's like a magazine or a website. I don't even know what it is. And he stepped down as the chairman of his own company because of all these new allegations that we're going to talk about here in a second. And 50 Cent was half trolling, half serious on Twitter, telling Diddy, like, hey, I'll buy it for you right now at a discount, the company, because it's about to go down, right? I think a lot of people know that this thing is not going away for Diddy. Now, recall that we did some shows on Jamie Foxx this summer, okay? One was a bonus show full of gems back in June, I believe it was, 23. If you haven't signed up for that supporter feed, if you have only recently signed up for the supporter feed, you need to go back to June 2020 and take a listen to that episode. Some of the ideas we talked about here was that, because T.I. was part of this, and you'll notice T.I.'s in the news today because of, I don't, he must be doing something new because I see all these articles about him, you know, verbally arguing with his son. I don't care enough, right? Guy hasn't made a hit record in I don't even know how many years. That guy talk trash about rappers like I could do it. Hey, like I said before, I'm just a hater, I think. I think I'm gonna change my name to the Conspiracy Hater. I think that fits. No, but T.I. said that Jamie Foxx was speaking out against Diddy and these parties, these freak-off parties. And we talked about this back in June, and now it makes more sense why these parties were such a scandalous affair and why everyone was always making little jokes and little snickers about it. And there's video footage of, and I don't remember if I played the video footage on that episode, but Jamie Foxx used to follow Diddy around back in the 90s before Jamie Foxx got really famous. And he used to carry video cameras and document these parties. And I guess Diddy didn't even know who Jamie Foxx was. Later when he found out, it pissed him off that he was, because at the time, I guess he was a comic. He might have even been on In Living Color. I don't know. I mean, it was the 90s. But on that show, we talked about how there was claims that Diddy was throwing satanic Illuminati parties from a gang member that used to hang out at these things. So there's another little thing to sneak in here. Are these freak-off parties more than just, oh, let's all drink Ciroc and, you know, at the end I'll watch someone, you know, bang Cassie? Might be more than that. Sex magic rituals? I don't know. I mean, if people want to get freaky at the party, I'm cool with that. Like, I don't care. Whatever, man. Now, you start talking about satanic Illuminati sex magic ritual stuff, I'm interested what's going on here. Because as we're going to talk about, there are some links to satanic activity with the P. Diddler. Now, because the reason we talked about all this stuff in the summer is because Kanye West has these clone theories, right? Which still haven't been necessarily satisfied. He's out of the hospital, but acting sure weird, right? But Kanye West was on Tim Pool talking about how he was prescribed lithium pills and about how lithium melts your brain and Hollywood gets famous people all hooked up on medications like this. Could have been referencing Britney Spears. But Fox said that he had an episode with a certain medication, and he just said it was drugs like Kanye was referencing. Okay. Then you got this tabloid, I think she used to be a singer, Jaguar, right? She said that Kanye West is speaking the truth. And she had said how interesting it was that Diddy stays so plugged into Hollywood so well, and yet all these people that are around him have such bad luck. like Kim Porter, right? Kim Porter was Diddy's girl for many, many years, and she died relatively recently, just a couple years ago, I think, of the flu at age 47, which is really strange. Just like Brittany Murphy and her husband both died of the same weird sort of flu thing, young. Weird activity in Hollywood. Then we talked about a video on YouTube that was talking about how Diddy allegedly put a hit out on Jamie Foxx. And the claim being made was that Jamie Foxx was exposing Diddy for being secretly gay. All right. And Wendy Williams talked about this with DJ Vlad, about how she got in trouble for saying these things. But then I saw claims that Jamie Foxx is alleged to be into these gay parties too, as well as Usher. And if you recall, Usher lived with Diddy when he was a 13-year-old boy. Diddy recruited him when he was getting into the industry. And Usher even went on Howard Stern to talk about how wild these Diddy house parties were. He called it the Diddy Flavor Camp. And he wouldn't elaborate, but Usher knows where the bodies are buried. There's a lot of wild rumors about Diddy. Bieber, he did a 48-hour YouTube video when he was 15. And on it, Diddy promises Bieber can borrow his Lambo when he turns 16, which some people say that's a little groomerish. But anyway, some people were saying that Jamie Foxx was exposing Diddy for a variety of things, from all the way from kid stuff to occult ritual parties. There's another one of those allegations of Illuminati satanic parties. And, you know, back when I did that show, it was hard to confirm anything. I saw a lot of spliced up, out of context clips. There's nothing definitive that I was like, okay, yeah, that's the dude. But I can believe him, right? My belief, my opinion would say, yeah, but that's real. But I've not seen one confirmed thing of Jamie Foxx specifically saying, look, I'm going to expose Diddy for these gay occult parties, and I've got footage of him. I've never seen that. Lots of subtleties about how Diddy had wild parties. But again, maybe he's just talking about wild sex parties. I mean, I don't know. What do you think these people do? They're not getting drunk and playing card games, you know? So, okay, so let's switch gears a little bit. Let's talk about another person on the verge of breaking out some various serious conspiracy theories. It's our favorite Kanye West. Yay. And I don't mean yay, Y-A-Y. I mean Y-E. Ye was talking about Diddy back when he was doing all that anti-Semitic talk that he got canceled the first time for, or second time, who knows. And if you recall, on an Instagram post before he got deleted off of Instagram, he said that Diddy is controlled by the JEWs. And after that was when he went on that Twitter rampage and talking about how he was going DEFCON 3 on the you-know-whos. Okay. So Diddy is in the crosshairs of Kanye West as well. And you remember he did he was on the Shade Room, posted a video about these blood sacrifice rants that he did. There was a video. We did a full show on this in 2022. All right. It was when he was talking about how people get these blood sacrifices to make deals with the industry. He calls out a bunch of people, Lil Boosie, Meek Mill, and Diddy. And Kanye says that he never killed anyone, but he can now say whatever he wants and not go to jail. And I don't know if he meant he's got literal dirt on these people, or if he's saying that they murdered someone, or that there was a ritual that the artist has to murder someone to get into the industry, or blood sacrifices. It's all very strange. But I think Kanye West also knows where the bodies are buried. Now, let's go back to I wrote a hip-hop book in 2016, I think. Sacrifice Magic Behind the Mic, okay? Very famous book. And one, there was an artist on the Bad Boy record label named Mark Curry who had a book he had released called Dancing with the Devil, How Puff Burned the Bad Boys of Hip Hop. And he talks about a variety of allegations of a dark side of the music industry and connections that Bad Boy had with the Crips, Death Row connected to the Bloods. And he covers a lot of insider info going on behind the scenes, but he implies that the bottom line is always money, all right? He said, although I was flattered at first at how much Puff imitated me and depended upon me to teach him how to rap, other Bad Boy artists warned me that I was making a big mistake. They would tell me about what Puff did to a dude known as Sauce Money. Todd Gaither is his real name. He was working with Jay-Z in the mid-1970s. In fact, he's the cad who introduced Jay-Z to the business. He was featured on Reasonable Doubt, Jay-Z's first album. And arguably his best album. I actually like his first two albums the most, Reasonable Doubt and, oh man, what's the name of the one? The one that Puff Daddy produced. I want to say it's In My Lifetime, but I don't think that's the name of it. It doesn't matter. His second album. Jay-Z tried to get Sauce to sign with Rockefeller, but Sauce was leery. He was in college at the time and a bit more astute than most rappers, and something about Dame Dash's business operations troubled him. However, the constant cheerleading of the label by Jay-Z after the success of his album finally convinced Sauce that the label was cool. Shortly after he signed, his apprehensions about Dash kept haunting him, and he left Rockefeller after less than a year. When Puff heard about this, he tried to lure Sauce to Bad Boy. At the time, Faith was trying to compose a song to commemorate Biggie's death, but was too grief-stricken to focus. At the same time, dozens of writers were composing tributes to Biggie and sending them to Bad Boy. None of them seemed to interest Puff or Faith. And he goes on and he talks about the manipulation in this legal shuffle game that Puff played in order to avoid paying royalties to Sauce and other producers who actually helped build this the song I'll Be Missing You, which was a massive song back then. If you were, you know, I remember I was in the prime of my life, I don't know, 16, 17, 18, somewhere in there, and you couldn't get away from that song. It was on everyone's stereo all the time. It says here it was 7 times platinum. We're talking big dollars, okay? And it goes on to talk about how Mace went to prison in 1998 and how it opened his eyes to the violent lyrical content he was profiting from. And it had a real effect on the black community. And Mace was like, I don't want nothing to do with this. And the final nail was when Puff Daddy did the Hate Me Now video with Nas and they were on Crosses. And Mace told Foxy Brown at the time, he said, rap music is the devil. And that's when he became Pastor Mace. Which is interesting because he used to push darker content back when he was in, was it called The Children of the Corn before he was with Bad Boy. It was a great, great group. It was Mace, Cameron, and Big L. Big L is also dead, too, by the way. But they were pushing dark stuff back then, too. Anyway, let's see. Where are we here? Okay. But yeah, I talk about that in the book. You can get it all the places. You know, Audible, Amazon, Gumroad. It's a very controversial book. I got invited on. That's how I first got on Sirius XM on Shade 45 with Rude Jude, because he had me get on there and people hated my stuff. Oh my god, they hated it. But I did get a feature in Complex magazine. They interviewed me and Prodigy in, ironically or not so ironically, maybe synchromistically, a magazine of Complex with Mariah Carey on the cover, and she had a bunch of Eyes Wide Shut masks on all these like dancers around her or models, I should say, which I found to be very curious because the whole article was about the Illuminati and hip hop back when you used to be able to talk about these things. And what else should I say about that? So Prodigy, of course, died after that. And around that time, Mariah Carey's sister was saying that her and Mariah, and I think her brother, grew up going to satanic parties and stuff. A lot of people don't know that. That his, you know, anyway. Weird time, right? The 2016s, 17s, 18s time frame. But let's fast forward to 2022, all right? Something odd happened. Ye, who was talking bad about Diddy, of all things, Ye presented Diddy with a Lifetime Achievement Award at BET. Ye's speech starts out and he says, "How do we crown our kings?" And I think, what? I thought you didn't like Diddy, but whatever, right? But then if you listen to him, Ye says, "Puff understands contracts the way a lot of us don't." And is that, did Kanye have to do this little speech? Is that his way of sort of jabbing at him and saying, like, man, this guy's a scumbag? But anyways, he says, "Puff inspired his wife choices." Yeah, he was married to Kim Kardashian, of course, right? Who I think was, like, very close friends with Puff. I don't think they were hooked up. But, anyway. But Diddy dated a slew of famous women besides Cassie. We're talking Jennifer Lopez. I think presently he's dating Young Miami from City Girls. Lori Harvey. Steve Harvey's daughter. Future says she's for the streets. I don't know, man. why these guys so mean? They're so mean to these women, and these women keep going to them. Naomi Campbell, who she was on the Epstein Lolita flights to the islands. Lots of strange connections here. I got no proof positive of any of this, but I sure see a whole lot going on. But yeah, during that speech, Kanye, this is when Kanye went off the grid and came back wearing the mask and the gloves, and he went out Alex Jones. Great time to be a conspiracy podcaster, let me tell you. But anyways, Puff gets up, thanks God for keeping him godly and keeping him love. Cause at this time the P Diddler was trying to say his name was now Love or Brother Love or whatever he was saying. And he says that he was in a dark place for a long time. Then he ominously thanks Cassie with an L for love. It was really bizarre.
Hey, y'all, I'm going to keep it 100 with y'all. I was in a dark place for a few years, you know what I'm saying? And I have to give a special thank you. All that love. I got to give a special thank you to the people that was really like there for me. Bishop T.D. Jakes. My chief of staff, Christina Corum. K.K. Lorianne Gibson, keeping me free. Yeah, and also Cassie for holding me down in the dark times. Love. And once again, I got to thank Harlem, Boogie Down Bronx, Queens, Mount Vernon, all the new.
Now, after this event, you know, the BET Awards we're talking about was from June 2022. After this event was when the beef between Ye and Diddy escalated because Ye wore the White Lives Matter shirt. All right. And I'm going to read you from Billboard. So much drama and hot goss today. All right. On Friday, he adjusted his name to Diddy, sharing screenshots of text messages between the two. Quote, "I didn't like our convo. I'm selling these tees," Ye told Puff in a lengthy text. "Nobody gets in between me and my money. This is my grandfather texting you now. Never call me with no bull like that again unless you're ready to greenlight me, because anybody who got on that T is me." And from what I understand on the Urban Dictionary side of things, when they say green light, that means that you're going to get a hit. There's a hit out on you. The only reason I know is because Drake recently Andrew Tate said something about how there's no real men from Canada, and Drake, who's from Canada, took offense to that and said he's greenlighting Andrew Tate with like some jokies. I think he was kidding. I don't know. Okay. Out of respect for everything you've meant to me, I'll be quiet as Virgil, but now I know how I've hurt people I love with threats. Ye followed up with another post in which Diddy allegedly texted Ye, "As soon as I land, we'll meet face to face," to which the rapper responded, "N-word F you." Oh, Ye. You know, I have a tumultuous relationship with Ye. Sometimes I think he's the best thing ever, and sometimes I think he's the worst. "This ain't a game," West continued in another post. "I'ma use you as an example to show the Jewish people that told you to call me that no one can threaten or influence me. I told you this was war. Now gone get you some business." In the final exchange between the two moguls, Ye shared, Diddy allegedly wrote, "I'm just trying to talk to you as a black man, and I'm talking to you because this is hurting our people. Stop." All right. That's the Ye connection, all right? I feel like Ye's got more to say about this. I feel like it's coming. But here's the thing. Why do people associating with Diddy have such a rough time? It's a common occurrence. It's a thread. You know, Cassie, obviously, we have the allegations from her. Sexual abuse and even trafficking. Mace, he completely turned into a pastor and stopped rapping after being with Diddy. Shine, who was a great rapper. In fact, right before his debut album in 99 was going to be released, he went to a club with Puff, and he was dating Jennifer Lopez at the time. And Puff and some guy got into an argument. Guns got pulled. Shine let off 3 shots. Injured some, I guess, innocent bystanders. I don't think anyone died, though. And Shine took the fall, allegedly. This is how it went. Allegedly, Shine took the fall for Puff and did 10 years in prison. Because you got to understand that Shine, he grew up very poor, and he went from sleeping on the couch at his mother's place to literally overnight getting a contract with Bad Boy with millions of dollars, cars, and all kinds of stuff. And I'm sure he felt like he owed Puff something, right? So that's the allegation. That's the theory, is that Puff really fired the shots or something like that. I don't know. But either way, Puff got off the hook with some, I don't know, some probation or something. Shine did 10 years in prison. He recorded an album over the prison phone. Anyways, he gets out and he gets deported to Belize. And now he's a total politician. Doesn't even rap. He cut all ties with Puff while in prison. Converted to Orthodox Judaism. So, again, another rapper who does this weird spiritual 180 after hanging out with Puff too long. Then, of course, you got Big, who got killed. And you could lump Tupac into this as well. And, you know, Diddy was at the center of all that East Coast, West Coast beef. Because it was East versus West, Suge Knight and Death Row versus Diddy and Bad Boy, Tupac versus Big, right? And if you read Sacrifice and Magic Behind the Mic, you know, we dug into this, Death Row was started with not so questionable, financial links to the Seagram's family, the Bronfmans, yes, those Bronfmans from the Nexium sex cult, the Costco sex cults, and you see how all these things just keep popping up on the radar. They were even connected to CIA money, you know, everyone's favorite puppet masters, the CIA, were involved in creating Death Row Records. So we go back to 94. Tupac was supposed to be recording at a studio in New York City. Because he's actually from, I think he's from Baltimore or lived in New York or something. He's actually an East Coast guy who moved to California. But Tupac was supposed to record an album in the studio in New York. Bad Boy artist Junior Mafia showed up, apparently like waved or something. And then the next thing you know, there's two gunmen that show up and they roll in, they shoot Tupac five times. Tupac lives. He's taken out on a stretcher and he gives the finger to Bad Boy and Big. Puff and Big deny any involvement, but then proceed to release a single called Who Shot Ya? Tupac thinks it's directed at him, obviously. Then after this, Suge Knight goes on stage at the Source Awards, mocks Puff and Bad Boy. The crowd sort of turns on Death Row because they don't like that. I think it was in New York. Snoop grabs the mic, joins in on the taunting, if you recall. That was back in the Snoop perm days. Then in 96, Suge and Puff were at a birthday party for Jermaine Dupri, and a friend of Suge Knight's gets killed. And again, they're thinking that Puff had something to do with it. Meanwhile, Tupac gets out of jail on a $1.4 million bond from Death Row. And this is where Suge allegedly got the money from questionable people, possibly ties into the CIA. I don't know. I think, and ironically, or not so ironically, Tupac was in there for sexual assault. He was in prison for sexual assault. But Suge paid his bond in exchange that he would do some albums for Death Row, and this is when he made All Eyes on Me, the famous double album that was just everywhere, and then the posthumous Don Caluminati album. Well, he also records a single called Hit 'Em Up, a very nasty little diss track talking about Big and Mobb Deep. Mobb Deep was probably like, what the hell? How do we get involved in this? But in September 96, Suge and Tupac were in Vegas, and he was fatally shot, as you know, the story. Then 6 months later, Big gets killed on a drive-by. Lots of weird stuff happening there, okay? And Diddy is around all of that. Another person who was around all of that was Jay-Z. He does not have a rough time, though, okay? In fact, he's besties with Puff this whole time. And, in fact, Puff said that only his mother and Jay-Z are allowed to call him by his first name, Sean. They're very close. And Jay-Z, he's been doing nothing but winning since all of this. You know, smart guy, right? He's dodging all this drama and beef and violence. He's staying focused on getting paid. We'll come back to Jay-Z and Beyonce here in just a second, all right? Okay, now, I want to very briefly look at some synchromysticism ideas here, you know, because we always talk about the occult, and so far we've just been getting tabloidy, all right? This has been more pop culture than it has been occult symbolism. So I want to throw in just a little something. Do you remember in 2022 when Puff Diddler was... Not the Riddler. He should have been the Riddler. He dressed up as the Batman. Sorry, I'm doing two things at once, and you can totally tell when I'm doing that. Sorry. So he dressed up as the Joker in 22. And then 23, he dressed up as the Batman. All right? Because allegedly, and this is weird, allegedly Warner Brothers said that he couldn't wear the Joker costume, which makes no sense, right? It doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Diddy said, last year, I got a bunch of emails from the studio telling me not to be the Joker anymore, that I was breaching the trademark. Now, is there anything worth digging into with that? I don't know. The Joker, I would argue, is a manifestation from the tarot deck into real life. Because the Joker in tarot is the Fool. The Fool is the madman. Okay, we saw it manifest with events like the Aurora, Colorado shooting of the Batman Theater with the guy dressed up as the Joker, right? Remember that? And Diddy is kind of like the tarot Fool. One foot almost slipping into the void, yet blissfully unaware of how close to the fall he is. And just like the depictions, he is symbolically holding a white rose of purity and innocence on the tarot card,
But it's not true, right? He says, I am brother love, but he's not. He's doing all these awful things. So, yes, there's some kind of tarot deck, full card manifesting from the Joker costume. Now, let's talk about another weird thing. Let's go back to the Will Smith, the slap heard around the world. Because if you recall back, what was it? Was it the Academy Awards? Where Chris Rock was on stage, made a joke about Jada Pinkett Smith, who was sitting in the front row with Will Smith. And Will Smith went up on stage and said, keep my wife's name out your mouth. Chris Rock thought that was a joke or something funny. And Will Smith goes up and slaps Chris Rock across the face. And it was one of the most bizarre moments in pop culture history. Well, guess who went on stage right after that? Right after the slap, it was Diddy. And he was trying to smooth things over because he's brother love, right? And I bet Cassie was watching this thinking, oh, well, this is priceless. You know, watching this guy who allegedly was stomping on her face, trying to pretend he is the holding the white rose of the tarot deck of the fool of purity and innocence. Now, recall we talked about that on, I think, three different episodes. We talked about that event. And one of those episodes, we talked about how in the year 2000, there was a VMAs. And Sean Wayans was portraying Chris Rock. And Puff Daddy gets up from the front row and slaps him. Isn't that odd? After Sean Wayans as Chris Rock makes a joke about how Eve looks like Cisco because she had short hair. Again, a similar short hair joke. Because Chris Rock made fun of Jada Pinkett Smith for having like G.I. Jane hair or whatever. And when you watch the 2000s VMAs, it pans through the audience and it shows Will Smith sitting in the audience. What are we trying to say here? What are we trying to connect here? I'm saying possible synchro mysticism events. It's the Twilight language working itself out. You could take this as far as to say we live in a simulation. I don't know if I believe all that. But it is very odd. It gives credence to a lot of these theories of ritual magic and manifestation. There's something weird about all that. And it's also interesting that Jada Pinkett Smith and Will Smith are still circulating in the news to this day. Because she keeps roasting this guy. And because she was talking, she released a book and she talks about how Tupac was her soulmate. There's this link into Tupac and into all that again. Which, you know, the P. Diddler probably don't like that because he didn't like Tupac, right? They were enemies. But, and also there's rumors that Will Smith is gay now. People are saying that that's the reason they've got such a weird relationship is because he's actually gay. And on top of that, something else strange that bubbled up from the synchro mystosphere. They arrested someone for killing Tupac. Unbelievable. It was a damn near 30 years later. Because the prevailing theory over the years was that Tupac beat up a Crip named Orlando Anderson, and then Orlando came back and killed Tupac in Las Vegas. Orlando Anderson was then killed himself a couple years later. I think gang violence, I don't know. Well, fast forward to September of 2023, and this guy who was Orlando Anderson's uncle, Dwayne Davis, his nickname is Covfefe. Dwayne Covfefe Davis was, that's not his nickname, that's what it looks like though, Kefe. Dwayne Covfefe Davis was, and then maybe, hey, look, maybe it is Covfefe. Maybe that's why Trump tweeted Covfefe. We don't know. But this guy, Orlando's uncle, was arrested because allegedly he sent the order to kill Tupac. And he apparently wrote about this, about his role in the murder of Tupac in his own book and saying that he provided the gun, which is what restarted the investigation. I'm going to read you now from the Cosmopolitan. Dwayne Kofefe Davis is a known member of the Southside Compton Crips gang and was a childhood friend of the notable hip-hop star Eazy-E. It was said that Davis also had a friendship with Bad Boy Records founder P. Diddy in the 90s. I mean, isn't this bizarre? What is going on? Did we all die in 2012 like SMQ told us back in the day? Remember that theory? One of the most intriguing theories I've ever heard. You should revisit that show. The We Died in 2012 theory ties into Mandela Effect, possibly CERN. I mean, things are weird. Also recall that there were theories that Suge Knight had Eazy-E killed with a direct injection of AIDS. Suge is also in prison for a fatal hit and run that they caught on camera in 2015. So it's like everybody around Puff is not doing good, except for Puff. But the point here is that there's some weird things that keep manifesting, and if Diddy is some kind of magician, maybe he's toying with some weird energies that keep him in the spotlight, but now it's coming back to haunt him. Now it's not for the right reasons. And not to mention Tupac, he had his whole slew of odd synchronicities, like making an album under the alias of Machiavelli, the philosopher who said you have to fake your death. And that prompted a lot of theories that Tupac isn't dead. So let's wrap this up, okay? In conclusion, the fallout is starting to spread. This is going somewhere, folks. I don't know where, but I think it is. I think this is a domino. Because after settling with Cassie, Diddy got hit with some more allegations. A woman named Joy Dickerson Neal met Diddy in 91, and I'm going to read you from TMZ. This is what allegedly happened. This woman claims her legs felt rubbery and she couldn't stand when she tried getting out of Diddy's car, leading her to believe Diddy drugged her at some point during their meal. In the suit, the woman claims that after leaving the music studio that same evening, Diddy drove her to a house where she says he sexually assaulted her and secretly recorded it. Then the next day, another woman sued, a third woman now, Jane Doe this time, claiming that Diddy and R&B singer Aaron Hall took turns raping her and one of her friends in 1990 or 91. I don't know why it says those two options. That's what it says. Okay. Now, it's interesting that Diddy would be recording this, because doesn't that sound a lot like Epstein-esque kind of stuff that goes on? And he was dating Naomi Campbell. Maybe she saw something like that and was like, I don't know. And why you would have blackmail on yourself seems like the dumbest thing, but he probably was trying to be freaky and wanted to watch it again later. And of course, after this, you know, Diddy stepped down as chairman of his own company that 50 Cent went on Twitter and said he would buy it from him. But you'll notice a lot of the dominoes started falling recently due to a change in the statute of limitations with the New York Adult Survivors Act that is now law that provides victims of sexual abuse a 1-year window to file a civil lawsuit. That's up. Apparently, November 24th was the last day to file, even if the statute of limitations was up, which is why there was a flurry of these recently, okay? And I'm no lawyer, but from what I believe happened, there used to only be a 5-year statute of limitations on sexual assault. Now it got extended to 20 from 2019. They changed the law. Now it's 20 years, which is when they opened up the discussion to make this Survivors Act to give people a sort of one-time shot to, you know, go back and make their claims. It allowed children who got assaulted to now file lawsuits. Okay? Because if you're a child, it takes you a long time to process what happened, okay? And the reason they extended these statutes of limitations is because oftentimes the victims, they feel shame about what happened, or they hesitate to report what happened, or they're trying to unpack what happened, right? Like sometimes these are their closest friends or their family members or, you know, powerful people or people they look up to. And it probably takes a while to sort of unpack that in your mind. Or maybe they have a fear that they won't be believed and they'll be ridiculed. And people are always questioning, oh, what's her motive or whatever, right? And also the trauma of the event can be suppressed. And all this came from the dialogue over the years from the Me Too movement, the Boy Scouts molestation stuff, and the Catholic Church, right? all this rampant child abuse resulted in this Survivors Act. So now we've got tons of allegations being brought forward against some of the major pop figure cultures. One of the first cases was Donald Trump, of course. I know people think I'm purposely trying to pick on Trump. I'm not, I promise, okay? Writer E. Jean Carroll accused him of sexually assaulting her in 96. And they already went to trial in May. The jury found him guilty of sexual abuse and defamation. Not rape, though. And he's got to pay her $5 million. And she publicly made this claim known in 2019. So this isn't like a new thing that she was trying to cash in on. She's been talking about this for years. But this act allowed her to present evidence she had to a court who believed her. But there's lots of people that are getting accusations lobbed their way. Weinstein, of course. Bill Cosby, of course. Diddy, of course. We just talked about this. That's the act that Cassie used. Harv Pierre, who was the former president of Bad Boy Records. Jimmy Iovine, L.A. Reid, Axl Rose. I'll say it ain't so, not Axl Rose. I love Axl Rose. Terry Richards, and that one's definitely suspect. I'm shocked that guy doesn't have more going against him. He's got a lot of alleged shadiness in the past. I'd be very highly suspect of that fella. Cuba Gooding Jr., Jamie Foxx has even been called out on this thing. New York Mayor Eric Adams, former New York Governor Andrew Cuomo. There you go, there's a little bipartisan picking on folks there. And it's curious to see all these allegations coming forward, right? But notice the darkness here. That's what I'm going to focus in on here. And we're gonna cover one more thing and then we're wrapping up. We're done. Diddy has been rebranding his name to Love, okay? He just had a new album, a Love album or whatever. I don't know. And these guys do this stuff. They hide behind these fake, I don't know what you want to call it, these fake personas. Guys like Russell Simmons, who was, he for years and years, he's been pushing this sort of meditation, yoga, new age spirituality stuff. There's been a lot of claims from his ex-wife, Kimora Lee Simmons. And this is, I'm gonna fire off a bunch of allegedly statements here. I've seen some were on tabloid websites, some were on TikToks. Fact check all of these if you want to run with this. I'm just trying to make a point here, okay? Kimora Lee Simmons was friends with Kim Porter. Remember, Kim Porter was Diddy's, she was partners with him for many years. And allegedly she was claiming that Diddy killed Kim Porter because she was going to expose him because she knew all the dirt. She said, and I listened to the Kimora Lee, she did an Instagram live. I listened to the video. It's kind of bizarre. She doesn't specifically say that, but apparently she did say that somewhere. I didn't hear it though. Kimora Lee believes that Russell Simmons is one of these people like Diddy who is assaulting women. He got accused of this many years ago, supposedly included a 17-year-old he assaulted. And when all these allegations came forward during the Me Too movement, he packed up. He sold all of his properties in America and moved to Indonesia, where apparently you can't be extradited. And Kimora Lee herself was only 15 or 16 when she met Russell, who was 35. And, you know, people were drawing parallels to Diddy because Russell is besties with Diddy. And the claim is that all these parallels exist. Like Russell was nonstop clarifying how he wasn't dating Kimora when she was underage. He met her, but he waited until she was 18, like any good predator would. And supposedly Russell was angry and controlling. So in 2008, Kimora Lee divorced him, but then only recently started going public of all this abuse that she was subjected to, including her daughters with Russell. So there's a parallel that, you know, Diddy and Russell were the same kind of weird, creepy, controlling, angry guy. Because Diddy met Cassie when she was a teenager. She was 19 and he was, I don't remember, 35 or something like that, 37. It's a pretty big age difference, right? Legal, so hey, you know what? I'm not trying to burn that down. I support Leo DiCaprio. If he wants to date 24-year-olds, hey, man, just keep it legal, buddy. But the day after the Cassie story broke, Kimora Lee shared an Instagram story that said, "As you sow, you shall reap." Diddy was on her radar too, apparently. Back in 2004, she was interviewed by New York Magazine, and she discussed how Diddy was copying Russell's every move. They were the same person. And she was married to Russell at the time. And she said how Diddy was threatened to hit her. She was pregnant, and Diddy threatened to hit her, and then he apologized and all this. They just kind of gloss over that, and you're like, because I read through the article. I was like, what? Because I fact-checked that one. Kimora and Russell's daughter, Aoki, she said she has evidence of Russell verbally abusing Kimora Lee and her sisters. That was just this year, this summer. But yeah, what I'm saying is that Russell Simmons, who's accused of all these multiple sexual assaults, moved to Bali to be this love light yoga instructor, all this love light consciousness, new age stuff. And that's what Puff Daddy's doing too. Now he's, you know, Mr. Love Daddy, Brother Love. And the Russell Simmons stuff, I don't know what the results are, like if they're going to court. I have no idea. I read through the Rolling Stone article from 2018, and it said he's got more than a dozen sexual assault and sexual misconduct charges, going way back to 1983, that allegedly he raped Sherry Hines from the Mercedes ladies. What I'm saying is these people are demented. They're sick in the head. Russell Simmons wrote a ton of self-help books over the years. I remember because I used to watch Dr. Oz every single day. That old grifter Oz. He sold me all kinds of stuff. I was trying to get healthy. And I want to say I saw Russell Simmons on there peddling his book about, you know, mindfulness, yoga, and all this crap. Which is fine, but like these people they're hiding behind these fake personas. Ironically, Donald Trump wrote the foreword to that book of Russell Simmons. But and let's throw one more idea out there. There's a guy named Gene Deal who was Puff's bodyguard, and he said that Russell Simmons, Diddy, and Jay-Z were all shady. And Jay-Z helped cover up for Russell, which makes me wonder if Jay-Z isn't being a handler of Beyonce, right? Remember when she was all zoned out at that basketball game? Do you remember that? Look up that clip if you haven't seen it. She looks like she's high as hell on drugs or something. And she's been doing all this weird mind control stuff at her concerts. And Jay-Z, he always talked about how he was like this master pimp. And what does a pimp do? They mind control the women so they can abuse them and you know, control them. Who's to say that he's not doing that to Beyonce? I'm not saying he is. I'm just suggesting maybe. Maybe him and Russell Simmons and Diddy, they all hang out in this circle of creeps. And they do this creepy stuff. So is there trafficking in Hollywood, human trafficking in Hollywood, these elite circles? I believe so, and I think it's going to blow open here. I think that this could be the beginning of something big. And notice how Elon Musk, he recently, just this week, tweeted a Pizzagate conspiracy meme. You know what Pizzagate was? It was those emails with weird cryptic language, and conspiracy theorists said, this is coded language for child abuse, sexual abuse. And we never really got an answer, but every mainstream media outlet just said, no, that's just a conspiracy. Okay, well then why is Podesta, Clinton's campaign bestie or whatever, why is he talking about we need 30,000 hot dogs for the hot tub party in Hawaii, or where's the handkerchief with the pizza map on it? And where's the walnut sauce? Like crazy talk. What is he talking about on these leaked emails? We still don't know. But anyways, Elon posted about it. And you know me, I don't like Elon Musk. He's a jerk. But he wrote, it does seem at least a little suspicious. And this is all because recently in the conspiracy world, there was this guy, James Gordon Meek, a former ABC reporter who pled guilty to child videos of stuff. And a lot of conspiracy theorists, like from the QAnon crowd, Your News Wire, The People's Voice, all these sort of these places that you got to fact check what they say because they're oftentimes a little overzealous and don't get it right. They were saying, oh, the expert who debunked Pizzagate just got arrested for child stuff. And that apparently wasn't really true. The news outlets all came out and said, look, this guy never worked the Pizzagate story. I don't know what these Q folks are talking about. And I looked it up. There was a link to every article he wrote with ABC. I clicked through them all. I didn't see any. It wasn't the most thorough search on earth. But I went back to the year 2016 and thoroughly looked through all of them because that's when the Pizzagate thing broke. I didn't see anything. So I think they're right. I don't think the guy actually worked the Pizzagate. I think this is just more Q nonsense because they're great at distracting from real things. Point is, Elon Musk, he got harassed for retweeting this thing and he ended up taking it down. But anyway, the Pizzagate thing is still a red hot idea, as it should be. And now we've got this whole thing with Diddy and all these other major figures in the pop culture sphere. And I think it's the end of the road. No pun intended, boys and men. I think it's the end of the road for the P. Diddler. And this is going to be just the beginning, I think. I think it's the beginning of something big breaking on this, okay? Anyway, that's all I got. It's exhaustive, right? There was a lot to get through. And surely there's going to be updates to this thing. I want to thank you for listening to my show. Thank you for supporting the show. You keeping this podcast alive. I mean that in every sense of the word. Thank you for your support. I appreciate it in more ways than I could ever tell you. Stay woke.